Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Mishmash Mayhem.
Mishmash Mayhem.
The podcast where we take the schoolyard conversation of which one of these fictional characters would win in a fight, and we talk about it on a podcast.
This is a podcast.
It is a podcast.
Not only is it a podcast, it's the self-described podcast. I just dropped a pencil.
I heard that. It was loud.
Was it really loud?
Well, it was loud in my ears, but that's because we've got headphones.
It is probably because we've got headphones in. It's a bit of a crazier drop. I just like fiddling with things, you know. My hands, little pencil twiddle. Can you hear me twiddle it? If I hold it near the microphone. No, you probably just had me drop it and hit a glass.
So I'm Chris.
And I'm Wade. Or Matt Wade. Or Wade Matt. I have many names.
That's it. It's the man with more names than there are colours.
I mean, how many colours really are there?
Technically just one, isn't it? It's just white. Everything is just a shade of white.
But white isn't a colour. White is all of the colours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything's just a shade of white.
Oh, I mean, no, because like white is all of them. That's like saying there's only one mammal.
Yep, everyone's just a different shade of mammoth.
I said mammal, actually, but...
I know you said mammal, but mammoth is a mammal. And in my eyes, the dominant mammal. And all other mammals are a shade of mammoth.
The dominant mammal is a mammal that's been extinct for thousands of years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to fight a mammoth.
It's a fair point. But I mean, it's a fair point.
Also, it'd have to be like one of the first mammals, wouldn't it? For everything to have been...
There were mammals around in dinosaur times. And mammoths were around way after dinosaur times.
Just saying, mammoths are cool.
Mammoths are pretty cool, yeah. Especially the ones that were in the Ice Age, because they were frozen.
Yes, and voiced by Ray Romano.
What? Obviously, you're one of the Ice Age of the film, but...
Yes.
Who's Ray Romano?
The guy who voices the mammoth. And the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond.
I've never watched Everyone Loves Raymond.
Okay, well, that guy's name is Ray.
What?
And he's the voice of the mammoth.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck are we doing? So, I mean, it's episode 5. It's kind of, I mean, it's not really like a big milestone, but it's like the first mini milestone. That's pretty exciting, right?
A mini milestone?
Yeah.
Like a quarter of a milestone?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, it's not like a quarter, I'm not saying that 20 is a milestone.
Well, I guess the first big milestone is either 10 or 25, depending on what you want to call it, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm just thinking that like, they probably wouldn't have had milestones for like a third of a mile. They probably would have had a quarter and a half of a mile. You don't see like, you know, if you see road signs to small villages, they don't say, oh, Bitton is 3 2/5 miles away.
That's just a short walk down the road.
It's always halves or quarters. It's never anything else.
I was wondering though, and I can cut this if you don't think it's a good idea, but just as like a little sort of, hey, you know, it's nice to give something back to the community, as kind of like a small mini milestone thing. I didn't know if you wanted to maybe give a shout out to a different podcast, like maybe one that you listen to kind of give something back to the podcast community.
I actually don't listen to any podcasts.
Do you know?
No.
Or maybe some other like YouTube, like a YouTube or internet show or something. Maybe like a Twitch streamer you like. Or...
Oh, I said the only Twitch streamer I like. That's not true. I like two. Okay, we'll give a shout out to the smaller one because she will appreciate it more. But I watch a lot of Age of Empires videos, and you should check out a person called Smarty. That's like Smarty but with a H in it. She streams Age of Empires and other games as well, like Mega Aquarium. And yeah, if you're around on a weekend, typically, you could join in with the game she plays. I've played, what was that game? Quiplash with her and other people who are watching the stream. Yeah, the Jackbox game.
That's cool.
It's good fun. People didn't get my British sense of humour. I was very outnumbered by Americans and a lot of it went over people's heads. And I thought I was far funnier than apparently I was.
That's the thing with that sort of thing. You've got to know your audience.
I know, right? One of the questions was, tell me why I shouldn't spank you right now. And I put, because I'm only 12.
And that's a bit risque.
Right. And the other person put, because I want you to. And they won by a vote. And I was like, you what, mate? Like mine was definitely better.
Yeah, because that's a reason that they should be.
Sponsored. Yeah, I know. He was like, "Oh, but it's irony," and I was like, "Yeah, but mine was funny."
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. That's my little shout out. The Smurfy Age of Empires. That's stream.
Cool. The one I wanted to do, because I've been listening to a lot of it lately. I'm sure my wife is probably sick of me going on about it, but it's interesting because I actually found out about it from listening to Hat of Many Things, which is another podcast on with the TTS production. TTSS, two S, which is Shuffle Quest.
Okay.
Which is a RPG, tabletop RPG podcast, where it started off with like three characters from D&D, but then each series, they go to a different pop culture world and play the tabletop RPG of that pop culture.
Okay.
And they were sort of saying where a lot of these things only have a tabletop RPG because the film or TV show they were based on is good, and the tabletop RPG itself is actually a really garbage system.
Mm-hmm.
So the game they play is awful, but then they make this comedy podcast from it, which is really well made, very good people in it. The GM, Tom, is very good at coming up with story, so I really enjoy it.
What's an example of a really shit RPG they've done?
So the Series 2 one, which I've actually just finished, I'm about halfway through Series 3, and in real life they've just started Series 6. So the Series 2 one is they go to the Dragon Ball Z universe.
Dragon Ball Z RPG.
Yeah, so they play the rules of the official Dragon Ball Z RPG. But to make it really Dragon Ball Z, all the numbers are really high. But whenever you beat somebody in a fight, it's something like your attack power, which is usually a number in the hundreds, take away their defense, which is usually, I think it was like sort of 70 or 80 sort of thing. And then the difference isn't just how much damage you do, which is what you'd expect. It's how many d6 you roll, and then that's how much damage you do.
No, that makes sense for an RPG.
It does, except for it usually resulted in them rolling about 70 or 80 d6 and doing that much damage.
Yeah, but that's a laugh, isn't it?
I imagine it was the first couple of times, but they just sort of said that was just an insane thing. I think a couple of episodes in, they gave up on dice and just started using electronic like dice rollers.
An Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, because it was just like, oh, you do 70 d6 of damage. And especially for something that you're recording, that was just a stupid amount of rolling and then counting.
I've only got two dice, bear with me.
Yeah, well, they certainly didn't have 70.
That was me rolling lots of dice.
Yeah, I got that. Anyway, but yeah, that's a very funny podcast. I'd recommend that.
Fair enough. That's enough about other people's podcasts. It's time to talk about ours. So, well, hopefully you know by now. And if you don't know by now, welcome. Or not welcome, and you should have been paying attention. We're going to both introduce our characters for the day, our discussions, and we're going to go through what their like abilities are, their weapons, their schemes, the color of their skin, if it's important. Probably isn't important, but I mean, we do mention it normally. I mean, your guy's blue.
Yes. Yes, he is. No, green. Green.
Oh, well, so I was paying attention. And we're going to go through all of that malarkey individually. And then we're going to roll the die of death.
The die of death.
Which is our lovely patented 20-side dice. Our icosahedron, and that's going to determine where these two fighters are going to begin their bout. And at this point, because our options are very vague, we will then decide what on earth that entails. A lot of this is very on the fly. And then we'll have a little discussion about how the fight's going to progress and who we think is going to win.
And whether or not that person will earn their mish, their mash, and their mayhem.
That's very true. Their mission, their mission, the mayhem. Currently, what's his name? I've forgotten him.
Drax the Destroyer.
Drax the Destroyer. He's earned his mish, and today he's out for his mash. You know, he's got some sausages, he's got some gravy, he's missing that je ne sais quoi that brings it together. His mash. You know, it won't be half as beautiful as his marvellous dinner if he wins his mash.
Drax the Destroyer, of recent Guardians of the Galaxy movies fame, actually has been around since the 70s in the comics.
How long?
That's like 46 years.
That's mad.
It is. And he first appeared in an Iron Man comic.
Really?
Yep, the Invincible Iron Man number 55.
Did Iron Man get beaten?
I don't know. I don't know if they fought. They might have fought together. I'm not sure. I don't know what happened in that comic. I just got it down as his first appearance.
Okay.
But back when he first appeared, he was actually just a human. Yeah, just a human. You know, those lowly creatures. He was a human called Arthur Douglas.
It's such a boring name.
Yeah.
Sorry to any listeners who are called Arthur Douglas.
Yeah, just way thinks your name is boring.
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe they've got a really exciting job to make up for it. Maybe that, I think that's probably why when he got alien powers, he changed it to Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do that, don't they? Like when they get sort of public image jobs, they change their names, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's only a boring name for like a superhero slash super being power person.
Yeah, I think it's a really good name for a man who runs a coffee shop.
A coffee shop? Why a coffee shop?
I don't know, just in my mind. Arthur Douglas. Oh, yeah, he's the guy with the good coffee.
Arthur Douglas, he's the guy with the good coffee. He'll invite you in and he'll sit you down and he'll make sure you're not coughing. A lemon flavored coffee. It's as vile as it sounds. It will only cost you $3.95 and it comes with a biscuit on the side.
No, his thing would just be like, Arthur Douglas coffee, we pay our taxes.
Okay, that's far better than my little jingle. And suddenly everyone flocks to Arthur Douglas instead of Starbucks.
Which is really upsetting when the selling point to your business is just that it pays tax. But I think that would work.
Oh, it works so well. I love it.
But yeah, anyway, he was driving along one day and happened to come across Thanos. So Thanos attacked him. In the whole incident, he believed Thanos had killed his daughter. So he decided to vow vengeance upon Thanos. It did turn out later on that his daughter was alive. And then he went, if there was a series of comics where he traveled around the galaxy with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he vows vengeance against Thanos. However, Kronos captured Arthur's spirit and put it in a new powerful body and renamed him Drax the Destroyer. So he didn't do it himself. Obviously, it was Kronos who thought Arthur Douglas was a boring name and sort of did this in order to make him a champion to fight against Thanos' evil. So, mm-hmm. You know, that sort of went really well. And he was able to then go and fight Thanos with his new superpowered body, which is kind of Drax's whole deal. So determined is Drax to defeat Thanos that when other people have defeated him, such as Captain Marvel, Drax has then, in anger, because they've taken the honor of defeating Thanos away from him, beaten the living crap out of them.
I only seemed reasonable.
He was all like, hey, I was supposed to kill Thanos, and you've killed Thanos. Now I hate you, and I'm going to kill you.
How many times has he killed people who have killed Thanos?
Oh, I don't know.
And by extension, how many times has Thanos died?
I mean, comic book characters die a lot, and then they just sort of reboot the comic, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know if Captain Marvel necessarily did kill Thanos, but certainly defeated him. And Drax was then like, hey, well, you took that honor away from me. But yeah, as I sort of said earlier, Drax is a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I would be very surprised if that changes in the comics while the films are going, because let's be honest, the Guardians of the Galaxy were fairly unknown, at least to the masses. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of like comic fans who knew who they were, but like they certainly have their mainstream appeal through the films.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly hadn't heard of them till actually shortly before the first film came out. I played the Lego Marvel game and they were in that. So I kind of knew of them, but not really, because they certainly weren't main characters in that. They were just one of the ones you can unlock in the way the Lego games work, because you unlock bloody everybody.
Mm.
Let's be honest, how much of Lego Star Wars have you done just playing as a gonk droid, because you can?
Probably a lot.
Exactly. Well, you know, we spent most of Lego Harry Potter being Hufflepuff Boy and Shifty Wizard.
Is that the name of the character, just Hufflepuff Boy?
Yes.
I love it.
If you wanted a yellow cape, you could upgrade him to Hufflepuff Prefect. Like many superhero characters, he's gone through various iterations. Originally, Drax's power was just superhuman strength and stamina, and he had a resistance to physical injury. You know, all like the sort of generic superhero things that all of them have. He also had the ability to shoot concussive blasts of cosmic energy from his hand. And concussive blasts of cosmic energy is a hard thing to say.
Concussive blasts of cosmic energy.
Right.
Yeah, I failed.
Exactly. There's lots of C's and S's. But you could also travel at high speeds in both outer and hyperspace without requiring food or water. He also had powerful telepathy. So that was quite a lot he could do in his original iteration. There was then like a kind of second iteration where he was even more strong and resistant to injury, but became really stupid. And like he kind of lost a lot of his mental capacity. So he was basically like a Space Hulk.
I am Space Hulk. Not to be confused with a Space Hulk from Warhammer.
Is Space Hulk a thing in Warhammer?
I'm pretty convinced it is.
Could well be.
I'm just Googling it. Yes, it absolutely is. Space Hulk is a board game for two players. It's set in the fictional Warhammer 40k universe.
Fair enough. But no, not like that. I mean like the Incredible Hulk, but for interstellarness.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I think, a less popular iteration. I don't think that one was around as long as the first iteration. And then there's also the more modern version of him, which doesn't have psychic or telekinetic abilities or the ability to shoot the concussive blast of cosmic energy. Shut up. But it does have, he is now very skilled at using quite big knives in combat. He also has enhanced senses, which allow him to smell whether or not an energy gun needs reloading or not, like that sort of level, just by smelling how much energy is in it.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah, it's really cool. He also has the thing, in order to help him defeat Phanos, that the closer he is to Phanos, the more his power increases. So he gets stronger and his senses get greater and stuff, the closer he gets to Phanos.
Lovely.
Yeah, which has also meant that when he is close to Phanos, he is so powerful he can pass through any of Phanos' projective force fields.
Lovely job.
That's it. So he's a very good Phanos-killing machine. It is a shame that he is not fighting Phanos, unless you tell me he is, but I'm pretty sure you won't.
I won't.
No, I didn't think you would. Due to the fact that he has quite a bloodthirsty nature, he is often throwing himself into combat with the goal of purely just slashing through whatever is in his way. However, although that will always be his first approach, if that doesn't work, he is quite tactically minded and can, if needs be, think his way through problems and strategize. He just doesn't usually to start with.
I mean, why would you?
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, when you're really strong and wield massive knives, I mean, most things aren't going to be a problem to you.
Does he often carry these knives with him, or does he just, you know, normally have, you know, are they his weapon of choice?
They're his weapon of choice. He always has them with him. I mean, if you watch, like, the more, I get again, the more mainstream version of him, I guess, is from the film, which has simplified the majority of his background. He always has the big knives for his fights in those.
Mm.
And admittedly, that doesn't really, the film doesn't ever show him really being strategic or anything. That very much just goes with him running in and screaming and cutting stuff. But yeah, in a nutshell, that is Drax. There's not, certainly the iteration of him we're using, there's not a lot to say. He'll go and stab something. If that doesn't work, he'll think about what to do.
Hooray for stabbing.
So, can you remind us of the clue you gave for this character last week? Do you remember it?
No. I remember it was something like they're a pirate captain. I don't remember how specific or how vague it was.
Oh, I do remember it was piratey.
And they're from a book. I think that was as far as I got.
It might well have been.
I'm pretty terrible at clues, not gonna lie. But I will introduce them nonetheless. This is Captain Kenneth Ludluck. He is a pirate captain from the book series The Lifeship Traders by Robin Hobb. Robin Hobb's been necessary in there before, just flag it up. Warning, if you are interested in this series, which is excellent, there are going to be some spoilers here for old Kenneth's backstory. So if you don't want to listen, skip forward like 3 minutes or so and then work your way iteratively backwards until we've stopped talking about this.
Just quickly before you start.
Yeah.
So the characters you've introduced to this series have been Wicked K and now Kenneth Ludluck, what did you say?
Yes, Ludluck.
Ludluck. And I just wanted to ask if you actually know any characters that people have heard of.
Hey, look. This series is not about people that other people know. It's about characters we like.
That's true.
That's what I'm going for.
Okay, that's fine.
Characters we like. And this guy's one of my favourite antagonists.
Oh, he's a bad guy.
Okay. Kenneth Ludluck, he was born aboard a live ship, which is pretty cool. And as such, he's always had a kind of special bond with a liveship. A liveship, as it implies, is a boat which is alive. Well, I won't get into the details of why. You can read the books and find out. Unfortunately, this poor man, when he was a child, was tortured and abused quite a lot by a different pirate captain. And through this abuse, he ended up dying twice on board this ship. But the ship managed to bring him back to life through magic. Or I can't remember exactly how it brought him back. So he's died twice already. Having undergone this pretty traumatic past, he is very unempathetic. He doesn't have a great deal of empathy, but he got a lot of, in a very similar way to the way that Drax is fueled with his vengeance, old Kennet was fueled with vengeance for the person who abused him. And he eventually does get this vengeance and kills the person by poisoning him and then doing something else to him. Can't remember.
I always think poisoning is a cool way to get away with killing someone.
Oh, I mean, like, it was a pirate captain. It's not hard to get away with killing a pirate captain because most people won't care.
Fair enough.
To be honest. He has nowadays, I mean, I'm taking him in the iteration of his self, you know, his main self through the books. He's a tall, handsome man with a beard and a moustache. And it says here, he keeps him impeccably groomed with lemon oil.
I didn't know lemon oil was good for facial hair.
I have no idea either. I'm not going to try it because I don't have any facial hair.
No.
And if I had any cuts, it would really sting, I imagine. I don't know, it's probably not the same as lemon juice, actually.
It's true. We'd have to ask somebody, resident beardy folk.
Indeed, we would. So nowadays, he goes around and he wants to essentially dig up some old treasure. But to do this, he needs to get a live ship. He does not have a live ship. So he's essentially doing all these very calculated maneuvers in order to get himself a life ship. Throughout this, he ends up doing a lot of what looks like good deeds. He ends up freeing a lot of slaves, but it's all a manipulation to get people on his side so he can get a life ship. Don't get fooled. He's a very clever man. He ends up getting his leg bit off by a sea serpent, which isn't ideal.
No. Does he get a wooden one, being a pirate?
He does get a wooden one.
Oh, amazing.
I know. He also dies a third time during the process of having his leg removed and then gets brought back to life again.
That's probably fairly reasonable. I imagine you lose a lot of blood from having a leg bitten off.
Well, it was more the fact that it went really gammy because of the sea serpent-like poison. And so it was amputated off. And during that first amputation, he died and was brought back. And then there was a second amputation to like clean up.
Okay.
So Captain Kennet, he does not come well. I'm not going to lie. He's not going to be the world's best fighter. He's probably very apt with a sword. And indeed, he has killed people with swords, both in the sense that he has killed a person wielding a sword and he has killed a person wielding a sword. You could put the comma wherever you like to make that sentence work. Both are true.
Yay. Has he killed a person wielding a sword?
Yes, he has.
Cool.
Yeah, he has killed a person wielding a sword.
Grammar is fun. Tell your friends.
His main thing is his ability to manipulate people to tactfully plan and his schemes. And he's a really cool guy. You should absolutely read him. I love him. He's great. I mean, like, there is a bit where he does something which is really bad and that makes people not like him so much, but I still really like his character. It's not that I like him, it's I like his character, which is subtly different thing.
Because if you like a bad guy, they're not a good bad guy. Because you're supposed to dislike them, and that's how you know they're a good character.
Well, I do like, yeah, I like his character.
Yeah, oh yeah, but that's the thing. But that's not the same as liking the person.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. But anyway, that's why I threw him into our list.
Sounds cool.
That is Captain Kennet Lovelock.
So he's another one. There isn't necessarily a lot to say about him because it's just very much, well, this is the things he does. He doesn't do a lot, but the things he does well.
He is a human who is pretty decent with a sword, but definitely not going to beat anyone who's good with a sword, like really good with a sword. And he's really good at manipulating people.
I think we said the same about Wicked K as well, actually. He was another one. The last few characters we've had, we've all been like, well, they don't do a lot. There's the things they do well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Wicked K was a good fighter. I mean, he stood up to, like, the horsemen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, interestingly, about the thing we were talking about with him, it is confirmed that he is in, that now that it's come out, the Darksiders III Crucible DLC does finish with him, and he does triumphantly fly away on his top hat at the end of it.
Love it.
So it's nice to know that that does come up.
It's canon. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't get back to you about the other unanswered question from episode 3 yet, which is whether or not me and my wife are going to change our surname to Killington. Because I haven't... I wasn't going to talk to her about it. I was going to wait until the episode came out, which was supposed to have been at day of recording yesterday, but due to some technical issues, it's actually today, day of recording, the 4th of March.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, so is that all you've got to say about him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Then you know what time it is. It's time to roll the die of death.
It's battling time. Yeah, the die of death.
Today's battle is going to be taking place on an iceberg.
On an iceberg. Oh my god, I love it. Right, how big is this iceberg?
I mean, it's not going to be huge, is it?
Well, not with global warming at this rate.
Wow, that's harshly real.
It's so real, man.
Take that fun and jovial podcast. It's some savage reality.
Some savage environmental reality. So
they're on an iceberg.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're deciding it's a small iceberg.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon it's quite high up.
Okay.
But there's probably not a huge walking distance, and it would, you know, it's probably relatively flat and fucking featureless is the word I was looking for.
So we're going for a flat iceberg rather than a kind of traditional pointy iceberg.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cool. Just want to know what page you're on.
I don't know. I mean, icebergs are almost geology. You would be the expert.
Well, I mean, what is the average shape of an iceberg? I mean, to be honest, they probably are quite, most are probably quite flat.
I'd think they'd be flat on top, wouldn't they?
And most of the smaller ones are, I would guess, because they're small for a reason. They would have been, it makes sense that a small one would be flatter.
Yeah.
Okay. And if it's quite small, that means it could potentially be unstable.
Oh, absolutely. I think if they wanted to, they could easily smash this up.
Maybe not that. Not that easy. So if they're in an iceberg, obviously we've specifically chosen a single iceberg, but the iceberg is going to be floating in a very cold sea.
Yeah.
God knows how they got here, but that's not our problem.
No, our only problem is which one of them would win in a fight. Well, now that they are there,
what else is there to decide on this iceberg? Not much.
No, it's a flat featureless thing, right?
Yeah.
So this might be potentially the fairest fight of fights we've ever had, because it is purely down to which one of them is better, unless one of them is particularly upset by cold.
I mean, they're both probably equally affected by cold. Maybe Drax less, but I don't imagine either of them are going to fare particularly well in the cold. Right, let's begin.
Okay.
God knows how they got there.
Well, because Drax, I mean, I don't know how Drax has got there, but he's there because that's how these things work. So he's chilling out on his iceberg for some reason.
What puns?
Yeah. I meant to do that. And then a pirate ship would sort of smash into the back of this iceberg, and the iceberg would then be boarded by said pirate.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that makes sense.
Does he talk piratey? Is he all like, arr?
No, I think he talks pretty normally. Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. And he comes off. And how big is Drax?
Large human size, maybe like sort of 6 foot-ish.
Okay, so he just looks like a well-built man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know for the film, they got a pro wrestler to play him.
Hmm.
Because that way he'd have the physical stature required.
Makes sense. Is he going to start on the ship, or does it begin because he categorically, intrinsically has to jump onto the iceberg?
I think he has to jump onto the iceberg because iceberg is the arena. The ship is much more just a facility for him to get there. If you want, he could get up there and the ship could sink because of it hitting the iceberg or somewhat to force him to get onto the iceberg.
That makes sense. You know, it's just important to get these things out in the open because it's heavily going to influence the outcome.
Yeah. So yeah, he rocks up. His ship hits the iceberg. Maybe he didn't even know Drax was there. His ship hits the iceberg, starts sinking. He jumps onto the iceberg and is like, wait a minute, you're the guy I'm supposed to be killing.
You're the guy who's been bullying my... he's been bullying Matt Wade. Wait, no. You're the guy who's defending the guy who's been bullying Matt Wade. Wait, was it? Yeah, they were our bully defenders.
Yes.
We don't know anymore, do we?
I don't know. You're being bullied. Yeah, no, I don't know. You're being bullied and he's going to stop you. Would a peg leg be harder to use on ice than regular feet?
God knows. I don't have a peg leg.
Because it's got a smaller surface area. Does that make it more slippy?
It would depend how small the surface. Like, you know, because if it comes down to like a toothpick, it could be quite beneficial because it would dig in a little bit. But honestly, I don't think it's going to be that thin because that would be ridiculous.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would probably be, isn't it like about as thick as like the heel of your foot? And then it just doesn't have...
Yeah, I would have gone for about as thick as your forearm or something, which is kind of the same because my forearms are tiny and I was looking at my forearm.
But you reckon it would be about the same?
Yeah.
Okay. We won't worry then. So how would he be starting the fight?
Well, he's a very clever man. He sees a big green man. Are you holding swords? I say you. Is Drax holding swords?
I think when he's not using them, they are attached to his back.
Ah, so I assume that he can see them on his back.
Probably, yeah.
And he's probably going to go, I need to win this one with guile, not with brawn.
Not with Dalsim.
Not with Dalsim.
Street Fighter jokes.
Yeah, he's going to instinctively know that he needs to win this one with brains, not.
Okay.
But handily, they're in a confined space where if you fall off, it is not good for you. Unfortunately for him, he is smaller than Drax. So I think he's just going to position himself at a comfortable distance to the edge, but, you know, like fairly close to the edge, and grab Drax's attention, maybe with a swish of a sword.
What sort of thing would he say?
Oh, God.
Does he have, like, good quotes, or is he just fairly normal?
I don't have any good quotes. You there. Yes, you.
So Drax would be like, me? You are... person I must kill in the way of my pursuit of Thanos. I should just start charging.
Start charging. Is he drawing his swords? His knives. Yeah. His knife swords.
Yeah. Yeah.
How easy is it for a big man to run across an iceberg?
Well, I said charging. He might try and charge initially, slip a bit. I don't think he'd fall over, but I think he'd certainly slip. And then reduce his run to a sort of brisk walk.
I am trying to Google running on an iceberg to see what it's like, because I think some icebergs might be quite easy, but a flat iceberg I think is going to be quite difficult to run over because it would probably topple a lot. You could get covered by spray and water, and I imagine it would get covered in a lot of sheet ice. Right, that would be my guess about running over an iceberg.
I mean, I'm happy to go with it.
So he's going to start his charge and slip. And then what's he doing?
Okay, then I think he'd reduce his sort of run to like maybe just a brisk walk so you could actually do it.
Okay.
He'd be advancing as fast as he safely could.
Unfortunately for Kennet, he has not ran as recklessly as he might have hoped. Probably. I don't know. I'm not Kennet. But I imagine that would happen. He's going to be at like, what? So he's coming at like jogging pace?
Yeah. Maybe a bit slower than that. Like I say, just a quick walk.
Now, big swords, big knives, two of them, big burly man, guy with sword, one leg. He's going to have to stop, drop, and roll.
Okay.
That's going to get cold. I don't mean like, you know, before you get near. I say you. I keep doing this. I don't know if you do it. And I do mean you by that you. Wait until Jack starts getting near. And as he goes for a swing, stop, drop, and roll.
Is he trying to roll sideways or like roll under Drax and past to behind him?
I mean straight through the legs. Barrel him down.
Oh, so roll into him?
Yes. With, you know, sword is there for extra leg cutting if needed. Because using a big burly man on ice's momentum against him is going to be beneficial.
Absolutely. So I think that would result in both of them just falling over, getting nice and cold.
Oh, I love to be cold. Don't you love to be cold?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
So they're on the floor, feeling cold.
On the floor, feeling cold.
So they'd be trying to get up. I guess, do you think they'd fall on top of each other? Do you think like Drax would land on him?
Well, I think his legs might be on top of him, but his main torso wouldn't be. If you roll into someone's legs and take them out, and you've gone forward towards them, and they've gone forward towards you, their body's going to go over your body and you're going to go all, you know, away. So if there's any form of overlap, it's going to be the lower part of the legs only.
So Jax might not even bother trying to get up. He might just try and spin and stab.
Spin and stab, not spin and slice.
No, spin and stab. It'd bring it down from like above him.
Oh, okay. What, so like one sword, he's fallen over, he smacked his face, he's unhappy.
Yeah. And cold. Because I feel like he'd very much just be gut reaction, just sort of swing, like sort okay. of stab down behind him, like whilst spinning, like using momentum.
Okay, I was thinking maybe he'd like, you know, one sword into the ice, use it as a fulcrum to turn his body to then try to slash with the other.
I mean, yeah, that is plausible.
Because that's still very instinctive, because if you just try to turn, but I don't know how like good he is at controlling his rage. Because if he's raging, he's probably just going to try flail, and that's probably not going to be quite as successful. But if you were, if he was better at controlling rage, then he could just go.
I think swivel. He's more very good at utilizing rage as opposed to, so like he'll get more determined and strong with his anger, but he's still very combat trained and orientated, and he knows how to fight.
Okay, so maybe he won't go. Maybe he might not initially. Go for a stab in the ice with the sword for a fulcrum.
Okay.
Well, because it's not like fighting. You know, you're just like swinging around on instincts.
Yeah.
But he's a big lad.
He is.
I don't know how easy it is to turn around on the pimp on the spot on ice, but I don't imagine it's easy on an iceberg.
Well, that means it would probably give Ludluck chance to evade.
Yeah. I mean, he could probably carry on rolling a little bit further away because. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already got the momentum of his roll. Roll a little bit further, he's going to be out of arm's reach. Easy peasy.
He'd sort of roll out the way, and this like knife would come down and sort of crack the ice behind him.
Behind him as he's going away.
Yeah, and you know, there'd be like a spray of ice up. Like, oh, it would look really cool.
It would look really cool. It'd look ice cool.
It would look ice cool.
So yeah, stab down. Yeah, kind of. It takes a bit more time because he's slipping on ice. The ice sprays up. Kenneth has continued to roll, and he goes to stop himself, which is easier for a stick being. It's not a stick, but, and he's got a peg leg, so you know his peg leg can go out behind him, and that's a nice bit of anchorage.
Uh-huh.
And he's going. I guess the opposite of stop, drop, and roll, which is
stand, stop, move,
and stop, stand, and move. As we know, standing will take a reasonable amount of time on an iceberg with a peg leg, with a big blue, with a big green man with swords on the other side. Okay. I'm going to keep interchanging swords and knives, and it's going to drive people nuts, and I'm okay with that.
So then as he's got up, Drax would himself also try and clamber to his feet, which would probably give Ludluck an attack of opportunity.
Or D&D style. Mm. Roll to hit. It's a two. That's not an official roll.
No, but I mean, that would miss.
You don't know that. He might have incredible dex.
No, my character's plus. Got 20 in dex and he wouldn't hit on a two.
Yeah, but I could have a +5 sword and I could be level 20.
Oh, I suppose.
Anyway, a step forward and a bit of a lunge with the sword to try to get a nice stab in a shoulder. Probably, I mean... I say shoulder, oh, they'd probably try aim for better than that, but realistically, it's unlikely to happen.
Okay, I was going to ask, is he going for the shoulder in order to weaken his opponent to try and make it a more fair fight rather than going for a lethal outright that he probably won't get? As you were saying, he's quite a wily character.
It's probably like, let's be honest, if you were on an iceberg and you were trying to stab someone, would you be angry at doing it?
I don't know. I've not tried to stab somebody off an iceberg, so... I'm not sure where my like natural stabbing talent lies.
I imagine this is just an inkling that's more difficult to stab someone where you want to on an iceberg than it is not on an iceberg.
Probably, yes.
I imagine a lot of things are more difficult on an iceberg.
Like keeping warm.
Keeping warm. Mm. Cheese rolling. Mm. Building a fire.
Yeah.
Shopping at IKEA.
Probably. I don't know, unless you can do it online. But there's probably not a lot of reception.
Right, harder on an iceberg.
Hmm.
baking a souffle. So anyway, I think it's fair to assume that a stab aimed at the chest area, because it's better to aim for the middle, would probably miss somewhat and land somewhere in the upper torso. Maybe a shoulder, maybe not.
Okay, well, we'll say a shoulder.
We'll say a shoulder.
The thing is, if you stab somebody in the shoulder,
yes,
you're then within range for just to stab you back.
Well, yes, but you are also not standing. I say you, I mean Drax.
No, he was sort of getting up now.
Yes, he was getting up, so he wasn't up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, all right, I see what you mean. So he's stabbing him in the shoulder while he's... Yeah, but then he could sort of swipe at the leg with his non-stabbed arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, which would determine, is he going to hit a peg, or is he going to basically just, like, cleave his kneecap?
Right. I think Kenneth's right-handed, so... Which is his right or his left leg that he loses?
Left, he says, without having any idea.
This is genuinely important.
Well, absolutely, because being stabbed in the peg leg is not a big issue, but being, like, stabbed in the kneecap is a horrific issue.
Well, I'm imagining, like, a swipe. Is that what you're imagining as well? Like a side swipe?
Yes, okay, but possibly not being stabbed in the kneecap then, but hit out across the back of the knee. That would still be very painful and make walking more difficult than it already is.
It was his right leg. That's bad for Kennet.
It very much is, yes.
Okay, so a swipe comes through into his leg, into his flesh leg, not his peg leg. So
yeah, I imagine it would just cut the back of the kneecap.
I imagine it would be pretty bad. But I do imagine either way that both parties
would be back.
Because Kennet, yes, Kennet is going to keel over with the momentum and the loss of stability in one of his legs. And equally, because that sword is embedded in a leg, it's going to also bring down old Drax the Destroyer. And then they're going to be both facing each other. Like one of those lovely movies where the two people who are falling in love fall down together in a field and they're facing each other. And they look at each other and they think, this is the moment. Except these people aren't in love. They're in a feud. And they both think this is the moment, but in a different way.
Rather than the moment for smoochy time, it's the moment for stabby time. And rather than being in a sunlit field, they're on an iceberg.
Which is probably sunlit.
A sunlit iceberg. God, I bet it's beautiful. In my mind, it's sunrise, because that would be a really beautiful time to be at an iceberg.
Yeah, it would. So Drax is swiped with his right arm and fell, which is awkward. Kenneth's had his right arm in the shoulder, and it's also awkward. It's pretty awkward for both of them. I think at this point, Kenneth's going to be in pain, and I think Drax might go for a bit of a weird instinctive approach and grab the sword that is stuck in his shoulder. Like, you know, his right arm's just gone across. His left arm is a bit out of use, not because it's been injured, but because it's under everything and everything's on top of it. So I think he goes for a grab on the sword which is in him and does a classic pulling out.
I think what he would do, because he might have dropped the knife, the knife where he got stabbed with, like in that arm, but it'd still have the one he's done the slashing with.
Yes, that one's just carried on.
So I think he'd pull the sword out of his shoulder and then throw it into the sea, so he's armed and the other guy isn't.
Yeah, okay.
Because that would give him a very distinct advantage. I understand there's still one knife on the floor somewhere between them.
Maybe he just gets rid of both the swords. Maybe he's just like, does he prefer cargo or does he prefer punching?
I mean, he would ideally use his knives, but he is perfectly happy and capable of punching.
Okay, so because, you know, some people prefer, like, you know, going for the old, just carry on bouncing people in the face.
Yeah. Love a good face bouncing.
Bounce your face, bro. Okay, so his right hand's just swung. His left hand can grab the sword, pull it out. He's absolutely stronger than Kenneth is. Wrench the sword, because they've just bumped to the floor, and fling it across. Whether it tears on the edge or drops into the sea, it's far away. It's not in a...
We've already established it's quite a small iceberg. It would probably go in the sea.
It absolutely probably would, yeah.
We can say that it's gone in the sea, then there's a definitive it's not going to be picked up or used later.
Yep, and then his right arm, and then Vic is going to try come down for almost a beheading clack.
Yeah, so he just goes for a downward stab. It probably aimed for the torso as opposed to the head. It's a bigger target.
I don't think it's like a downward stab. Like, imagine if you're lying on a bed, right?
Yep.
on your right shoulder.
Yep.
Right. So instead, a stab kind of implies that have you got a knife or a pencil to hold in your hand?
Yep.
Right. So instead of holding the pencil so that your palm is facing, well, how do I describe this? So if you were holding it at arm's length,
yep,
and the pencil was facing to the right, that would be like how I'd imagine a stab, right? Because if you use your arm while you're lying down on your shoulder, it stabs that into the ground. But what I would imagine is you hold the pencil the other way in your palm, mm-hmm, so that when you bring your arm down, it makes an extension of your arm rather than a right angle.
Yeah, okay, got you.
Yeah, so I'm imagining like that. That's what I'm imagining in my head.
Okay, sure. I still think he'd probably aim for the torso as it's a bigger target.
Okay, that's fair.
Also, that would be at arm's length where your arm would land, wouldn't it? It would be the other person's sort of midriff.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense.
I imagine he'd be most likely aiming to stab in the ribs or slash at the ribs.
Yeah, just attach sword to ribs.
Yes.
So he's just gone, floop, doosh. Kenneth's just had his sword thrown out of his other arm, his right arm, just thrown him off balance. Does he have time to get out of the way? Does he have that kind of reaction or ability?
I think he'd be able to move slightly, so he'd maybe just take a hit, like a, not a deep cut, but a cut across his back as he sort of rolled out the way.
Okay, more rolling. I love it. Rolls out the way, gets a little bit of a slash across the back. Pain. He doesn't say our pain.
Yeah. He might do. But I mean, he would be in a lot of pain and probably, like, mainly from his leg wound, he'd be probably bleeding heavily.
Mm.
He's not going to be feeling too happy.
No. At this point, I think he's, you know, he's been de-armed.
Yes.
Previously to this fight, he was de-legged. And I think now that D-leg is his option. You know the classic in the films where the person's on their back and they get kicking. Imagine if that's a peg leg.
Well, I was going to say, do you think he would go for Drax's other knife that is still on the floor?
Problem is, if that was in the Drax's left hand,
yeah,
right, and then they fall into the right, that's a good half body length. You know, it's by Drax's arse, essentially.
I see.
Roughly, you know.
In which case, now that he's rolled away, Drax would absolutely go for his other knife. Because if he's got both weapons and Kennet's got no weapons, he's definitely going to be way in advantage.
Mm. I think, like, after Kennet's rolled away, he's going to have to try and go for a spin and a quick jab kick with his peg leg into Drax's face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly the success of this is going to be critical, and I don't think it's going to be successful.
Because I think the thing is, he could kick Drax, that's fine, but Drax is probably with it enough that even if the kick knocked him over because of the icy terrain, whilst falling, he'd be able to pick up the other knife, and then he could stick both his knives into the ice to sort of steady himself and pull himself back up.
I think even if Kenneth could get a hefty kick in with it, it's not enough to knock him out. I don't think it's gonna have enough oomph behind it. I think it's an only option.
Yeah.
I don't think it's got enough oomph.
But that's it, but it will only annoy Drax more. And Drax is then gonna get the other knife.
A kick in the face as Drax leans off his right arm, grabs the other knife, probably on his knees. He doesn't need to get up.
No, and then he can just swing both, remove both his legs.
Just come out and, like, swing.
I'm just thinking he'd stick the two knives between his legs and just slice outwards.
Well, Kenneth can scramble backwards probably at about the same pace that Drax can go forwards on his knees. You know, it's like a progressive kind of, you're gaining ground, you're gaining control of,
yeah,
you're gaining map control.
But he can do that very important until the very small amount of arena runs out, and then Kenneth is either got to jump or fight.
Yep. So, you know, Drax is gaining this map control. I'm going to use the term map control because get to the end. Kenneth knows his only chance is to somehow try and grab him and chuck him in the water. At which point, instead of going back, a quick kind of push to try go under and try using the bridge to push him over. At which point, he discovers that Drax is a well-built, fairly tall male that he can't push over.
No. And then Drax would gut him like a fish.
I think he would just probably slash him.
Yeah.
Stab him a lot. I don't think he'd gut him.
Stab and up.
Guts go in. Guts come up.
Guns don't go in.
Oh, yeah.
Guns are already there. Knife goes in, guns come out.
Knife goes in, guns come out. And there's a very poetic still of an impaled pirate with a sword through his torso, impaled to an iceberg.
And then I feel like Drax would sort of kick him back, and then you'd get his body sort of slowly sink into the sea, and it would look really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Drax, you know, stands up afterwards and is like, rawr, whatever he says when he has victory. And then the ship from earlier has been drifting, comes back, crashes onto the iceberg and starts making it sink, because that's how icebergs work. You could see my face, and it's a face that's obviously like, I'm talking nonsense. And the iceberg starts bubbling and sinking below the waves. And Drax climbs aboard the pirate ship and fixes it and sails away into the sunrise.
Nobody knows how he fixed that sunken ship, but god damn, is it beautiful.
Now, he used a peg leg.
Sure.
Just plug a hole.
Man, that ship's already sunk, but this peg leg, that'll definitely fix it.
Oh dear. I liked Kennet, but he wasn't going to win. That wasn't why I put him in the list.
No, that's it. It isn't good to pick characters just deliberately to win. It's nice to pick characters that are cool.
Oh, because otherwise we'd end up in a Yu-Gi-Oh scenario where all we do is power creep.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Which is just, that's just not the point.
No.
And yeah, it wasn't awful.
No. And also, now that, you know, you've introduced some people to Kennet, maybe they'll go and read the books. What were the books called again?
The Life Ship Traders series. The first one is called The Ship of Magic.
What sort of age range are these books for? Like, are they books you read as a kid?
No, I read it uni. Kind of age. I would say they're probably like older teenagers.
There you go. So, you know, if there's anybody here who's sort of
an older teenager
or a adult who wants a bit of an easier read, these are good books. They come with the Wade stamp of recommendation.
Roxana read them as well, and she really liked them.
There you go. Lady Wadey also likes them.
And that, as they say, is that. Let's do the post breakdown. Breakdown.
Post-breakdown, isn't that just the final chorus? Ah, music joke!
I feel the iceberg was almost very beneficial to Kennet, but I was kind of thinking they might try and coerce Drax into some kind of agreement, but an agreement isn't going to happen on an iceberg.
Also,
there's nothing to agree with.
Yeah, and also Drax is just not the person you can bargain with. He just likes stabbing things too much. The problem is that Drax is a good killing machine because he likes killing.
Yeah. And, like, there was a plan to try and get him overboard. And I think that was probably a well-seeded plan. But in probably the fact that the iceberg was too icy didn't help. Because
no.
It meant Drax had to just be a little bit more careful. Because there's a difference between being a raging maniac who just runs and stumbles and goes, oh, I'm just going to carry on doing that. And one who goes, oh, maybe I ought to slow down a little bit because otherwise I'm not going to be able to kill effectively.
Yes. Definitely.
It nearly worked out, but not this day.
No, but it is nice that perhaps this is the first episode where we haven't gone, oh, well, you know what, the environment has really been a big factor here.
But it was, again.
Yeah, but I feel like it was very much a factor in both of theirs, like equally for both of them. Like, it affected them both in a pretty similar way.
Mm.
I mean, it wasn't like the deciding point of the match. Because certainly in the first two episodes, especially, we were like, man, in a different arena, this would have gone a very different way. Whereas I feel like here, that isn't necessarily the case.
I think it would have been very difficult to find a place where Kennet could have won. I think if the only kind of pseudo-similar scenario I can think of is Johnny Cage versus Goro. Mortal Kombat. Like, if it was a cliff instead of an iceberg where you could still run quite recklessly across rocks, I think it might have been a little bit different story, but that is probably one of a very select few scenarios I think that would have ended up well.
And we've already done on top of a mountain, which is
yeah, we did. Good.
But that being said, even if he had managed to knock him off, the chances are that, like, Drax being the quite quick reacting sort of combat in tuned person, he'd have grabbed him and taken him down with him.
That would have been kind of similar to Johnny Cage versus Goro.
Sure.
Hashtag spoilers.
For that 90s film.
That no one watched. Some people watched. I watched it.
It was good. Enjoyed it. It hasn't aged well.
No, not at all.
You know, but as a 7-year-old, I really enjoyed that film.
Excellent.
yeah, as we sort of said last week, you know, we've now got a list of characters each to decide who comes in next. So Wade will now pick a new character from his list.
It's worth knowing that now on my list I have a suggestion from Twitter, I believe.
Facebook, actually, if someone messaged me directly.
Ah, from a direct Facebook messenger from a Rob. If you're listening, your suggestion is now on my list and it may come up soon. Okay, next episode. She is a princess.
Oh, our first female.
Our first female. She is a princess of...
the Mushroom Kingdom.
No.
I just know you've been playing Peach on Smash Bros. A lot.
I have. She's a princess of an empire, a fierce leader, but a caring sister.
Princess of an empire, a fierce leader, and a caring sister. Until you said the caring sister, I was going to say, is it Dragon Lady from Thrones?
Oh, and I can tell you that she's from an anime.
Ooh. Does that mean it's another character nobody's heard of?
Probably.
Okay, that's fine.
No, that's unlikely. It's probably a character. Well, I don't know. I reckon a lot of people have them.
All right.
Well, I say a lot of people. I mean,
anime people.
Watch anime.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, then. So that's our clue set up. So all that's left to say is thank you for listening. Remember, we have been part of the TTSS production, so that you can find on TinkerTailorSoldierSponge.com. There's other podcasts there you can listen to. If you feel like catching up on like some Warhammer knowledge, you can listen to Astrocast. That's a thing. Or if you want to listen to random topics picked out of a hat, you can listen to Hat of Many Things. At least at time of recording, the most recent episode of you were on Wade.
Yeah, I was.
So, you know, if you're a fan of Mr. Wade here, go listen to him on that podcast instead.
I talk about planes.
Talks about
and
planes.
Helicopters.
You're a man who knows helicopters.
I know every helicopter personally by name.
Yeah, which is your favourite?
Jeff.
It's fair. Jeff Copter.
Yes. That's Jeff as in J-E-O-P-H. H stands for helicopter.
So it's Geop helicopter.
No. The H in his name stands for helicopter. But his name is Jeff.
Did the other letters stand for anything?
Probably. Judas, elegant, original, flying with a P, helicopter.
The helicopters fly.
Yeah, the Judas Elegant original flying helicopter.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's my favourite one.
Yeah. On that note, I think we're going to call it there.
Wilco's now asking, is that the title? Oh dear. Right. What's my catchphrase? That's going to be my new catchphrase. Catch yours late.
Bye.